Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to be here with you guys. It's good to see some familiar faces, but it's also nice to be just in with our sister church. Like Rob said, me and my wife, Jackie, we're from Hope Loyal Sock, and we don't always get to make it out here. We talk about coming to visit you guys and get to know people, but you guys know how life goes and being involved in ministry and with children now, and it's, you know, life gets busy. So thank you guys for having me. Thanks to the elders for giving me the opportunity to come and just share kind of what God has showed me, given me opportunity, and along with others from Hope Loyal Sock, just to be a part of. We're excited to share that with you guys because we are in this together. You know, we are on mission for God together, and, you know, we just want to share that with you guys. So, no, at first, probably thinking, who's the guy putting the microphone on, and, you know, we don't know him. So, again, I'm Dan Schweitzer. My wife, Jackie, and my daughter, Jessie, are over there. We aren't originally from here. The reason that we ended up in Williamsport is because of my job. So I work with Rob. I have the good chance and opportunity to work with Rob. If you guys, obviously you know Rob, but hopefully understand that 95% of the stuff that comes out of his mouth is sarcastic and hilarious. Rob is one of the funniest people I know. He has a really good, dry sense of humor, but he's hilarious. It's great to work with him. I had the good chance to travel to Buffalo, New York with him last year for work, and it was just really cool to spend, that was like a 15-hour day we had together, and it was just me and Rob in a car and then doing what we had to do in New York, but just to get to know him and hear about his family and hear more about you guys. It was just really cool, and I feel blessed to be able to work with Rob. So that's originally how we ended up here, was because of my job, and we weren't excited to be moving out here. We'd never heard of Montoursville. We'd heard about Little League, but that was really about the extent of what we knew about Williamsport. And what seemed at first to be a really bad experience turned out to be God working. And so... we ended up meeting David and Brittany Covert, which I'm sure many of you guys know who David and Brittany are. Jackie had to get braces, and she met Brittany through there, and we ended up going to Hope Loyal Sock and joining the Base House Church at that time. And really what happened was God changed our hearts, and we came to know who Jesus is and came to follow him. And Jesus has changed our lives, and that's the reason why we're still here, is because we want to continue to know Jesus more, and we want to continue to follow him and what he has for us. And I hope Jesus has had that impact on all of you here too, because that's what he does. He changes our lives. He fixes brokenness. He heals where there's sickness. This is all about Jesus. He is our everything. So, and he's the reason why we stayed here. But Hope Community as a whole is why we stayed here too. We came. When did you guys start here? 2012, 2011, somewhere in that area, right? We came. Jackie and I came in 2013, and we'd heard about Hope Muncie, so we didn't get to meet a lot of people. Just in passing, you know, the Canner girls were part of our house church, so it was great to get to know them. So that's how we ended up here. Why we're staying again, like I said, is God's call. We feel that God's call for us as our family is to stay connected to Hope Community Church, stay connected to people there, grow in Christ, grow in what it looks like to follow him, to be his disciple, to see where he leads us then. And so you're probably going to hear me say the word or the term, the phrase, on mission with God or on God's mission. We use that term all the time in Loyal Sock, God's mission. And I'll try to quickly define what I mean by God's mission when you hear me saying that is basically where Jesus gives the great commission, the great co-mission. Jesus invited not only the disciples there, but all of us as his church to go and be and make disciples of Jesus, to continue that mission. So that's basically what I'm saying when I say on mission for God is whatever purpose that God has given us individually, but also collectively as his church, and how we're stepping into that, that's what it means to be on mission. And so that's the reason we stayed, is to learn how it looks to be on mission and then for God to take us where he wants us to be. And so currently, Jackie and me are in a what we call It used to be house church, now we call them missional communities. The small group where Jackie and I are leaders along with David and Brittany Cover and John and Melissa Jackson. Right now we're working towards multiplying that. And what that looks like is us taking about three families, Jackie and me being included in that family, and sending them out to start a new group, which is really going to focus on reaching out to unbelievers in the Williamsport area. So that's what we're working towards as a missional community right now. And we want to just be a part of being disciples that make disciples. And that's what we want, to reach out to those who don't know Jesus yet. And so possibly later down the road, maybe some kind of foreign missions, or we definitely want to be a part of church planting wherever God leads us, whether that's in State College or Oklahoma or Papua New Guinea, which we're going to talk about here. Really, wherever God leads us, that's what we'll be a part of. So I did get to go on a trip to Papua New Guinea with some of the guys from Loyal Sock for a very specific purpose, and I'll share that with you guys here soon. But first, I just wanted to share with you guys what God has taught me and taught us about missions, or what does it mean to be a missionary. So Jackie and me both grew up in the church, probably a very traditional, standard American church, where we just kind of came together on Sundays. Maybe did one thing throughout the week, and really we didn't, that was it. We didn't talk about it outside of church. We didn't, you know, our families weren't real, you know, we didn't talk about it at the dinner table, and, you know, spiritual things just wasn't the conversation we had. And so missions to me, or being a missionary growing up, I had this idea that it was just God called very specific people to go to very specific places, and they were going to present the gospel in areas where either there was a lot of poor people or third world countries or even places that we think didn't hear the gospel of Jesus yet, but it was only for those specific people, and they're kind of like the rock stars of the church. These were the faithful people that God wanted to work through, and then the rest of us just came to church on Sunday. That was kind of our belief, my belief, and I think a lot of people's belief growing up in the church. Is just not many of us are missionaries, and that's a very specific calling. But what God has taught me, taught us through his word and through even just trying to live life every day as a disciple, is that we are all missionaries. Everybody in his church, every believer, every follower of Jesus is a missionary. That's one of the things we've learned. God's word tells us that we are all missionaries. And as disciples and as followers of Jesus who are identified in him, a part of being identified in Christ and with Christ is we have a missionary identity. You don't separate that from Jesus. Jesus came here on mission for a specific purpose, and what he did, he invites us into to continue that mission along. So we have his spirit, we have the spirit of God living in us, and we can't divorce those two. As believers, as disciples of Jesus, we are missionaries. It just looks a little different than I think what I had, and I think what a lot of us had in mind. And so I just wanted to share a couple passages that have really impacted me about being on mission for God with Jesus. And so I'm just going to read through a couple of these quickly. In Mark 1, where we see Jesus starting out his ministry on earth, in Mark 1, 16, it says, "As Jesus was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon Peter and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.'" So it's neat that I think that's one of those things we can easily skip over in a word, but there's a lot packed in there if we think about what's going on here. Jesus goes to Simon and his brother Andrew, and he says, "Follow me." So one, follow me, and then I'll make you become fishers of men. So we see Jesus saying the first important part of this is to follow me, follow Jesus. And as a result of following Jesus, he's going to help us become fishers of men, or in other words, you could say a missionary, somebody who's taking the message of Jesus into the world to help save the lost. So I always think about that when I think about missions or missionaries, that the first part is to follow Jesus. Another one that's really important, and I think it's hard to skip over this. It kind of jumping a little bit, but in John 15, so if you think about the context of John 15, this is Jesus' last night with his disciples in the upper room, where he's giving kind of his final instruction and teaching to disciples. He's Really, the context is Jesus is sharing, hey guys, I'm going to go die, and you are going to be left here to continue this mission, while to continue what I've been doing, and that is to love each other as I've loved you. That way the world's going to know that you're my disciples. That's how they're going to know who I am, is by your guys' love for each other. But in the midst of everything he's sharing there, Jesus shares this. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So I think that's a really important thing for us to consider, is that Jesus says it's vital, it's of utmost importance that we stay connected to him relationally. When he says abide, stay in that relationship, grow in that relationship with him, so that he can then bear fruit through us. His life can be lived through us as we are on mission for him, as we are going into the world. It's not about us, it's about Jesus, and what he does in us, he wants to do through us. And then obviously Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we see where Jesus actually gives the Great Commission. And there he says, Jesus came up and spoke to the disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. So here Jesus gives the Great Commission, and we like to say the Great Co-mission. We are co-missioned with Jesus. We are working alongside with him in order to do this mission. And so specifically, he's talking to the 11 here, but through the 11, he's speaking to the whole church, because what happens with the 11 is they branch out, and because of the faithfulness of Jesus and because of them, here we are today. So that same commission is for us also, to go into the world and to make disciples everywhere. He says, all the nations, you know, we go to make disciples of them. And then just kind of quickly, I think a good thing for us to remember is in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says that we are new creations in Christ. The old has passed away, the new has come. And he says, we are ambassadors for Christ now. The ministry of reconciliation that saved us, the message of the gospel that saved us and redeemed us back to God, is actually what God wants to do through us now. The same thing that Jesus did for us, he wants to do through us, and we are ambassadors of him. And our identity, that is who and what we are. We are ambassadors for Christ. So God's word shows us that as believers and followers of Jesus, we are missionaries, and we are always going to be on mission. At school, at work, at home, in our neighborhoods, our mindset should be that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody where we're at. We are all missionaries for him. And I was just thinking, you know, Jackie and I were talking this morning. One of the big challenges for me, and I've talked to Rob about this, is just at work. Like, it's really hard for me to live as a disciple of Jesus, like, all the time at work, especially with, it's kind of easier for people that I meet and I'm only going to have a little bit of time with. But the people, their coworkers, day in and day out, it can be really hard to just share truth with them. But that's something that Jesus is inviting us into. He wants us to be a part of that. And even like our neighbors across the street, this is something that we've been convicted of. We've lived at our house for 4 years now in Loyal Sock, and just this summer have we really started to kind of step out and get to know people more. But Jesus is inviting us into that. And the joy that we get from doing that is awesome. There's nothing else worth living for other than to share Jesus with people who don't know him yet. It's amazing, but it's not easy. And we have to remember our identity in him and remember what our purpose is. So I think it's really important for us to have the mindset to remember and recall our identity in Christ and remind ourselves that we are ambassadors for Christ everywhere we go. I know it's easy for me. If I don't have my mindset on that, I can just go to work every day and do my normal work thing and come home and just be a dad and a husband and not really think about how all those things can be used for God and his purpose. Kind of moving into the Papua New Guinea trip, in the spring I had the opportunity to spend some time with missionaries and also to see the results of a church that was planted by missionaries in Papua New Guinea. If you hear me say PNG, Papua New Guinea, PNG, it's just kind of easier to say PNG. There's a people group in PNG called the CR, And so we went to visit the CR church, the CR people group. And the really cool thing about that is Hope Community Church helped to establish the CR church. So, you know, back when Hope Community was just one church, I know that there was a conviction of taking a lot of the missions resources and funds and kind of support one primary missionary family, and that turned out to be Lane and Carrie Sanford. And they are, along with John and Melissa Jackson and Chris and Aaron Lujan, went to Papua New Guinea, went to the CR church to share the gospel and plant a church. And Hope Community supported them. So they supported them not only through financial reasons, but Lane and Carrie became a part of Hope Community. Relationships were established, and that still continues on today. Lane is an elder in our church. Carrie is a big, important part of that. John and Melissa Jackson are in our church. Jackie and I get to be in a missional community with John and Melissa. So a lot of the stuff that happened in Papua New Guinea, planning the CR church, we've been able to learn from that and actually be a part of the CR church. So people that didn't know Jesus about 10 years ago, now they are brothers and sisters with us, and we get to know them, learn from them, encourage them, and the same thing them to us. And I know some people, even throughout the years, have got to go. Brett, did you get to go? You went to PNG, right, for the house building? Yeah. So, and a bunch of other people from Hope at that time got to go. And luckily, some of us have got to go also. So just to kind of share about that relationship that came about, but also what we learned about missions and about even being a missionary, what it looks like, I'd like to share that with you guys. This is a pretty important picture to me. These guys, all the guys you see here, are either elders of the CR Church. The guy in the WAPA white shirt there with the guy flexing, he's actually an elder from the Papatar Church, which is a little bit north on the island where the CR are. And then you can see in the blue shirt there, Dave Covert in the back, in the hat with the white beard, that's Bill Covert. And then you have Luke and Seth. These are two missionaries that are actually working with the CR and the Papatar to take the gospel somewhere else. But this is just a really cool, really impactful picture to me. All these guys that have given their lives to be on mission with Christ. So I'll go through some... I'm not going to be tall enough to be able to point this out here. But just to give you kind of an idea of where the CR church is, if you see Australia... There's a pointer on it? The green line?
Yeah.
Look at that. There you go. Technology. Okay. So here's Australia. If you go just right here to this little chain of islands, that's Papua New Guinea. And then I'm going to have to use two hands to even try and explain this. Right here in these little chain of islands, that's where the island of New Ireland is, where the CR people are. And so... this is a close-up view of the mainland of Papua New Guinea. Here's New Britain, and then here is that chain I was talking about, New Ireland, and right here on the very southern coast is where the CR people group is located, and that's where we went. We did spend some time at a missionary conference right here in a place called Hoskins. I don't know how familiar you guys are with New Tribes. It's the missionary organization that a lot of people we know have been connected with and have even been sent out through. That's where kind of one of their headquarters is right there in Hoskins. So I'll just take you through some of these slides here. This is just aerial view of what some of Papua New Guinea looks like. It's an island chain in the South Pacific. So it's jungle, there's hills, It's a tropical climate. It's hot. We were there in late March, early April, and it was 95 degrees most of the time. This is in New Ireland and the CR people group. That's what the jungle looks like, and some of the mountains in behind there, what they would call mountains. So this is a group that I got to go with. This is Lane Sanford. That's Bill Covert. Most of you guys probably know him. That's Bill's son, Dave Covert, and there's me. David and I have a long relationship. Like I said, we came to know Hope Community because of David and Brittany. We have a real close relationship. David built into me when I really had no clue what it meant to be a Christian. I never read the Bible before moving out here. I tried. I put it down. I was 27 years old before I actually really like made an attempt at it, and Dave really helped me through that. So that's us at the missionary conference in Hoskins. And so that's just a quick history of the CR Church as we're moving into that. Like I said, the families that went in there went in about 2006. The CR people, they had churches, but the churches are called Lotus. And the Lotu churches are basically churches that aren't gospel, Jesus-centered churches. They're churches that they have a lot of like witchcraft and animalistic beliefs and even some type of Catholicism in there, but not like gospel-centered churches. That's what was there. And so within 7 years of the families moving in there presenting the gospel, a church was established and elders were appointed. And so the families moved out. The families, the American missionaries, didn't just stay there. They saw God's leading these people. They have leadership. They're a growing church. It's time for them to take over, and we're gonna leave, stay connected, but we're leaving so God can really work through them. And the CR has had some really cool opportunities to reach out to other people groups on their island that don't know Jesus, and I'll talk a little bit more about that here. So the purpose for our trip to PNG was this missionary conference at Hoskins I'll talk about, but mainly was to catch up with, to pray for, to plan with, and to encourage the CR Church, and for them even to encourage us. It was a lot about relationship building and encouragement to continue on God's mission and to be really dedicated to that. And the reason that Dave Covert and I got invited to go was our interest in foreign missions and church planning, but also just our intentionality and for our wives and our families to intentionally participate in ministry. And specifically, that looks like for us being a part of a house church or missional community where we're helping to disciple believers, trying to reach out to unbelievers. And we've been doing that for about, Jackie and I, for about 5 years now. I know they've been doing it for probably 7 or 8 years. And that's what we've tried to give our lives for. And so because of that and because of our dedication and want to continue to do that with our lives, we got invited to go to this and just kind of to see what it looks like to be a missionary in this context. Another reason was we took Bibles and the CR language to give to them. They have a kind of trade language that most of Papua New Guinea understands, and they had a Bible in that language, but they didn't have it in their actual language. And that's really important to them because there's like 800 different languages in Papua New Guinea, and they all have their own different beliefs and definitions. And so for them to have a Bible in their own language was really important, and it took years for Lane to translate the New Testament into CR. It just took years for that to happen, but it did, and we were able to take that. We could take reading glasses to them because they've never had glasses, and we even took them an iPhone to stay in touch with each other and showed them how to use a cell phone. So the another part was for just for Dave, Bill, and I to get a better feel for cross-cultural church planning. As we see perhaps opportunities later on down the road for Hope Community to send out a team that wants to be a part of a cross-cultural church plant. So just kind of going through some of the slides, this is us at Hoskins at the missionary conference where we just really spent a lot of time with missionaries who are involved in the work of foreign church planting and presenting the gospel. This is just a little bit of what the center looks like. The theme for the teaching was the charge of discipleship, and that's what Lane and Bill were speaking on. And so it was Bill and Lane felt, especially Lane being involved in that work, he understood the importance of while you're there involved in the work, not forgetting that everybody there as a missionary is still, number one, a disciple and a follower of Jesus, and they need to be building into their relationship with him. And through that is produced their ability to disciple other people and help them come to know Jesus. And so that's what they were really trying to share there. This is just kind of what the road by the center looks like. I know it's kind of hard to see, but you see all the jungle and the vegetation. And there, what basically is some wood and some metal roofing are what a lot of houses look like in Papua New Guinea. In the cities, you'll have some standard buildings and everything, but this is typically what a lot of the country looks like and what a lot of the people live in. It's a third world country. It's very poor. That's Bill teaching. That's Lane teaching at the center. This was neat. We were there on Easter, and if you can see it there, there was a rainbow, and it was, this picture doesn't do it justice. It was bright. It was booming, like right there. It was really cool just to think about being there on Easter morning, and here's this rainbow to see, and everybody can see it. So that was kind of neat to see that picture. So here, Dave's head is cut off in this picture, but that's Dave Covert, and that's a believer from the local area, a tribal guy there named Richard. So here's a little better picture, me with Richard. He's a believer from the Nakanai Church, the Nakanai area there. And I think Richard is a really good example of why we need to be about taking the gospel out to people, because a couple years ago, Richard had never heard of the real Jesus and never heard the real gospel, had no idea what God's grace was. And so when we started to get to know him a little bit and hang out with him and talk with him, and it was really cool, he immediately just wanted to share about his faith. He immediately wanted to share about what Jesus has done for him. He wanted us to be praying for him to have the strength and the boldness to speak to his family who weren't believers yet and were actually giving him kind of some grief about leaving their local church to go to this Jesus-centered church. But he was staying strong in his faith. He wanted us to pray for him. And I asked him, hey, what's your favorite verse? I wanted to talk to these guys who had no context growing up with the Bible or church. What were some passages that really stuck out to you? And guess what his verse was? John 3:16. I know for a lot of us, we take that for granted growing up in the church. But he wanted to talk about John 3:16, and not even just for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He continued. There's a part that goes about what the judgment is and how we're saved from the judgment through Jesus. He was so excited to share. I'm not under sin. I'm not going to be judged. I'm going to heaven. Like, so excited to share about that. And that was really cool just to see somebody so excited about what Jesus has done for them in a culture where that's not normal. That's not typical. It was really cool, and it was just a good example to see, like, this is what we need to be about. This is why we do what God has asked us to do. So just some overall kind of takeaways I had from the Hoskins Missionary Conference. You know, we got to spend a lot of time with missionaries in the context of church planting in a foreign country. People who had only been there for a couple months, people who had been there a part of this for 30 and 40 years, and everything in between. We got to talk to them. We got to hear about what does it mean to look, what does it look like to be a missionary? What does it look like to be a missionary here? What are challenges? What are struggles? What are some cool things you've seen God do? And that was really exciting. And for me, somebody who wants to be a part of something like that, it was cool and really exciting, but after a day or two of being there, that turned into a sense of kind of like heaviness and even hurt, because we heard about some things that were going on as far as just relationships among the team members, dynamics as far as planning the churches, just a lot of relational issues that came about in the midst of doing this work. And a lot of what these missionaries were talking about was just the work. And they weren't talking a lot about what the gospel was doing in them themselves and what Jesus was doing in them themselves. And there was just a lot of focus on doing the work. And so we saw how real and how hard it is to be a missionary. And a lot of it had to do with, we asked them about their local churches and the churches that sent them out. And all that, and a lot of it was they were just giving them financial support and just praying for them. There was no continued building into them and this relationship growing. They were just kind of like, here you go, we're going to support you, we're going to pray for you, if you need anything, let us know. And they were off by themselves trying to do this. And New Tribes isn't, they don't call themselves the church, so their main priority isn't to just build into the missionaries. And so we saw some struggles that happened as people are out there trying to live on mission, trying to present the gospel, but still trying to learn to be followers of Jesus themselves too. There was a lot of relational struggles with that. We saw how these struggles can hinder a new church in Papua New Guinea or anywhere really from growing or even from really starting. And so even with talking with Lane about what he saw in his time there, what he's seeing as far as being here, we saw the importance of missionaries being raised up in a church, sent out from that church, and continually supported by that church, not just financially, but also relationally, to continue building into them relationally. That's really important. And we saw how important it is to clearly know God's mission for his church and staying focused on that and not just the work, you know, not just about helping people become disciples, but actually staying and being a disciple themselves. So one of the big takeaways I had in my time there was just how important it is to be equipped by a church here and for us to be able to show our faithfulness in ministry before heading straight into something like foreign missions because of the challenges that people face, that missionaries face. You know, you don't just want to take somebody who's like, hey, I want to go. Okay, we'll send you some money and send you on your way. We want to actually be able to build into those people to help them become faithful followers of Jesus who can then take that. And we want to continue to support them too. And this was even good for David and I, just as friends, as team members, and brothers in Christ. The last year in our relationship was a tougher time. And I'm not going to get into details with that, but basically, we had a tougher time. We were still friends, and everything was still good, but this being able to see what team members, what missionaries went through as they weren't really, like, focusing on each other and helping each other follow Jesus was a team breakdown. And David and I got to talk about some of the struggles that we were having with each other, and that's been really good for us. We've been able to work through those things and just even kind of move and step into more what Jesus has for us as a group. So it was really good there just to see what missionary life is actually like and to be able to hear that with some of those missionaries. So this is kind of moving. We went from Hoskins and then went into the CR. And so this is Dave and I. We're in a little place called Kokopo. In the back there, you can see some, these are actually volcanoes. If you've ever heard of the place Rabaul, if there's any World War II history buffs here, Rabaul is kind of an important place. So it's just kind of cool. Those were, one was active, one was dead. And actually in the early 90s, it wiped out the city of Rabaul. But so we had to take a boat, a little dinghy, across the ocean to get to the CR. So that's where we started. That's what our boat looked like. You can see Lane there. That, it was rough, but it was fun. It was really exciting, but I won't want to do it all the time, especially with little kids like those missionaries do. So another picture of what our boat looked like. It was just neat to be stranded out there, and then some rain and a storm came in. Pretty exciting, but also kind of scary for a little bit. It was a two-hour trip in relatively calm water. I know it's taken them up to 4 and 5 hours in rough water before. Yeah, and if anybody has any questions or anything, please interrupt me. So this is actually getting into the CR now. This is in the CR people group. This is the church. This was originally John and Melissa Jackson and their family's house that turned into the CR church. So that's what it looked like. That's the I guess you would call that the backside of it. And so here's the inside. This is where the CR church meets. They fit as many people as they can in there. It's starting to fall apart because of all the tropical climate, but also the bugs that get into the wood and just eat it through. The first time we walked up in there, Bill Covert just stepped right through the floor and went down to his knee. He just stepped right through all the floorboards. So in January, we're putting a team together to go and really tear most of that down and rebuild a lot of it. So this is a bunch of us sitting with the CR elders and some of the church leadership. The first morning that we met with them, they said to all of us who had came, we want to hear about you guys. We want to hear about your testimony and about your lives. Like, they didn't want to get down to business or anything. They said, we want to hear about you guys and what Jesus has done through you. So we had the really cool opportunity just to share our testimonies with them. And this is what is going on right now. We're sharing our testimonies with them. And that was really cool. Really good time just to share with each other and get to know each other better. And there's Lane. That's Solly. He was one of the first believers, and he's now an elder, a really important part of that church. So Lane is, if you guys know Lane, he's a talker. But I saw where his spiritual giftedness came out here in being able to talk. Lane was translating into the trade language that I talked about, called Pidgin. He was translating in that because there was the elder from the Papatar church who didn't know CR, so they all knew Pidgin. So Lane would translate from English to Pidgin and then from Pidgin into CR. And that's how we communicated. It was mostly through Lane, but a couple of the other missionaries that went in with us knew Pidgin decent enough for us to have like basic conversations with them. But Lane was working overtime here. So there's just what the beach looks like. It's, you know, you don't think of white sands, you think of rock and kind of like black ash, but it was still really beautiful down there by the beach. That's just, you know, we had a lot of time just to sit together and talk while there was kind of just even some of the stuff going on in the church and in the tribe that needed to happen that we couldn't really be a part of, just everyday kind of stuff. So we had a lot of time just to go out together, talk about our lives, talk about discipleship, talk about where we were and what was going on there. This is one of the sunsets there. Every night was like this. It was just unbelievably beautiful. But it was also extremely hot, and throughout the day, in the middle of the day, people would mostly just rest or nap or even just go hang out underneath somebody's house where it was somewhat cool. That we went on a couple hikes with the guys, and as you can tell, we're walking over these rocks. These guys don't wear shoes. They don't wear shoes anywhere, and they're walking over jagged rocks, and just unreal how tough these guys are. And you wouldn't believe his age. He was, I forget how old he was. He was in his 60s, I think, and he was just whooping our butts, walking through everywhere, just no shoes, no nothing, in the middle of the day. These guys are just tough people. That's Mata. That is Solly's wife. She was just a servant the whole time we were there, cooking food, cleaning dishes. She did that pretty much the whole time we were there. She was really awesome. She's, from what I know and what I've heard of her, she's an extremely faithful disciple of Jesus and just a real servant at heart. That's Solly again with their grandson, Tom. That's Sira. That's the Papatar elder I was talking about with Bill Covert. Sira has a really cool story. He was a pastor and a leader at one of those Lotu churches I was talking about. And when the missionaries in his area moved in, he said he knew what they were sharing as far as the gospel was true. He just knew it. He felt in his heart that what they were sharing was true and what he was a part of was not true. That's one of the only careers where you have a good life, comfortable lifestyle. And he said he was convicted to the point where he left that church and left his career and everything behind just to even start learning more about Jesus and the gospel, because he knew that he couldn't have these two things going on. If he was going to follow Jesus, he had to give everything up, and he did. And he's a really awesome example of a faithful disciple. Again, this is just us hanging out at Solly's house. Just a few of the believers hanging out, sharing stories with each other. Lane, like I said, this is what a lot you did in the middle of the day. You just hung out in the shade underneath a house. And here's Lane just showing pictures of his family, because everybody knew the Sanford family, and he was showing pictures and helping everybody get caught up. That's actually a community garden. They all go on the hillsides, clear out land, burn it up, and then they have community gardens, and they spend a lot of time in there. They live to survive. You know, they have to gather their own food, plant their own food. A trip across the ocean for them is not very common, because it was like, I think it cost us something like $600 American to get to travel to where we needed to, just on a boat. What's that? Yeah, with fuel to hire the driver, because you don't just get on the boat and go. So it's very expensive for them to travel that way. We spent a lot of time just here in the shade there's a river that runs up through here where people bathe and they wash clothes, and we just hung out there just talking and catching up with everybody. A really pretty view there. I'll go into this gathering here, which is really important, but just some of the takeaways that I had from just going into the CR church, getting to know some of them, spending time with them, was we got to see the results of a faithful effort to take the gospel to a place where Jesus wasn't known. Like I said, like about 10 years ago, these people didn't know who Jesus really was, and they didn't know the gospel. And now there's this growing church who are maturing, and actually so much to the point where they see the need to step out and take Jesus and the gospel to other people around them. They take God's word seriously, which was really cool when we brought the Bibles to them. Solly, one of the elders, held it up, and he was talking to the church and just saying, like, this is our authority, and he put it on the ground to say, like, this is what we stand on. They don't just have their own thoughts and ideas and run with them. They actually look to God's word to guide them, and it was really cool and really convicting to see how they've grown basically because of their dedication to the word. And they don't have commentaries and teachings. They have God's word. They have a concordance, like an encyclopedia, and the Spirit of God and each other. And that's how they've grown. So that was really cool to see. We saw where they've been called to the carpet because of their faith in courts for certain, not they didn't do anything wrong, but just because of some cultural things there, they've been called in front of the courts and had to give testimony, kind of like what you see Peter and John having to stand before the courts in Jerusalem. The same thing with Solly and John, had to stand before the courts and give a testimony of Jesus and say, we're not changing our ways because we don't answer to you, we answer to God. That was really cool to see. And even the sacrifices that these guys have made in career and money and friends, their clans, which is kind of like an extended family, is where they get a lot of their inheritance or a lot of just their own, like, their own possessions, and they have to, a lot of them have to walk away from that and say, we're not going to be a part of that anymore, to stay faithful to Jesus. And so it was just really awesome to see this, and especially to see where they are so convicted by themselves to take the word and take Jesus into other people groups. That's not very common for people, especially tribal people in Papua New Guinea. They leave that up to kind of the missionaries to do that. But God has convicted them so much that they're doing this themselves now with the help of us, of Hope Community and other churches too. So kind of one of the big takeaways I had from my time, our time with the CR was, you know, just to see how much they are and why we want to be faithfully committed to God's mission as a church. And that was lost people coming to know who the real Jesus is, and to the point where they want to share Jesus with other people. Jesus is working so much in them that they can't withhold it. You know, they have to share it. And there's even a people group that came to them and said, you guys are different. You live a different life. We don't know what it is, but we want that. You guys have some kind of weird love going on, and we want to know what that's about. And that led to an opportunity for them to head north to a people group and plant a church there. And now that church is working with the CR to now go to another group that was a similar thing. So just the fruit of their lives is showing the real gospel of Jesus, and it's awesome to see that. And so in a foreign country, or even here at home, this is what missions is about, and this can be the result for us here too. And so it's cool to see how God's word is true, that people who really come to follow Jesus and become faithful disciples of him are in the process of helping others become disciples, whether that's through work, home, reaching out to unbelievers. That's just part of how missions work. And it was really cool to see that and be a part of it. So I'm just going to go through some kind of encouraging things, and some exciting stuff was the last night we were there, we had a church gathering, kind of a church party, where the four of us bought a pig. They don't get meat very often, even though they raise pigs. That's where some of their income comes from, is they sell these pigs. We bought one, and we did a pig roast, and we had like a church feast and time of sharing with each other and a music time together. And so that's just kind of what it looks like. They lay these big banana leaves down and lay all the food on top of it, and you just kind of sit there, and you use your hands, and you dig in. So we got to do that with them, which is really cool. Here's where we just had a time of sharing. Lane, John, he was the first believer in CR, and he's like the main elder leader there. He's sitting beside, and he kind of ran the show. It was cool to see him run the show, because I think it'd be easy in their context to look at Lane and go, you guys are the ones, the reason why we know Jesus, so why don't you lead this? But no, like John's the one that led that. It was cool to see that. Here's just Lane sharing with everybody there. Here, we got to carry the pig, and it was really heavy. And we struggled moving it for 20 yards. And then, like I said, these older guys, the guys that are in their like 60s, and I think one might have been in his early 70s, just picked it up, and with one arm they ran to where we had the fire going. And we couldn't even make it 20 yards. Here's preparing the pig. Here's just what the normal dress. People bring in clothes for them. The women wear a lot of this kind of dress. The guys wear usually just kind of whatever shirts have been given to them and shorts. Again, it's hard to see. If you look in behind here, would be a lot of the church gathered. And it was even cool, there was an unbeliever from the tribe that came in and sat down for this. And so John was able to stand up and present the gospel. So here's us chowing down. Just, you know, kind of what might look unclean for a lot of our culture is just, that was like as nice of a dinner table as you get there for them. And they even set it up on a table for us. Everybody else was eating on the ground with the dogs. And again, here's just that picture. Solly, John, Sierra, and Amos, one of the newest elders from the CR Church. So, yeah, that was just really important to me. And then here's where the video is. I'll start it here in a minute. This was really cool. We just had a time of sharing music together in four different languages, and everybody singing together. It was just really cool for everybody to come together and praise God in all these different languages. Even though we didn't exactly know what they were saying, unless somebody was translating it, the Spirit was moving. It was an emotional time. It was just cool to think of, you know, one day, and I know it's hard to see everybody sitting back here, but one day when Jesus comes back, we are going to be able to know and talk with these people fully. We are all going to be united together without language barriers, without cultural barriers, and just share what Jesus did for us together. And I think that's really exciting and really encouraging just to be a part of that. And so here's just it's a quick video of they are singing in CR here. Here you'll hear them, you can hear them say John 14:6 in the chorus. And so it was just really cool. I mean, you got to even consider that they don't have access to the music we do. The music that they sing, it's music that they came up with themselves. It's music that the Word has spoken to them, that God has spoken to them, to the point where they want to make music about that. And so if you think about John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, like, that moved Nelson so much that he wrote a song about that. You know, it worked in his heart so much. And that's how their music is. Their music comes from the heart. And so Jesus has worked in them that much. And it was just so cool to sit down and hear, you know, through word and through music, just how God has impacted them. And again, to remember, 10 years ago, these people didn't know Jesus, and now this is where they're at. And we get to share in that with them. And so that's just really cool, and it's really encouraging. And so even just to remember, there are many out there like them, foreign countries and across the street from us, who don't know Jesus, that could one day look like this
and continuing to take the gospel and take Jesus out to other people. And that's what we say when we—that's what we mean when we say be on mission with God, with Jesus. And that's what we want to give our lives for. Just kind of in ending, we do stay in touch and support—stay in touch with and support the CR. There's plans to visit them every couple years. Like I said, there's a plan to go help fix up the church. I think Lane and Bill and some of those guys—they have like a monthly time when they will call on that iPhone and they'll FaceTime back and forth with each other and stay in touch. At Loyal Sock, we've kind of set up a global missions fund, and a lot of that is going to be used to support them. Like, we're looking to buy them a boat motor for their boat that they need to go down that island and around the other way to get to the church where they're working at now. They don't have the money to do that. And it's not that they're always coming to us for money. They share needs with us, and we come together, the elders pray together and present to the church, hey, this is a need, what do you guys think? So even just for opportunities for us to be on mission with them in that way, through prayer, through money, through just even relationship building with them, is really cool. So let me know if you guys are interested in hearing more about the CR, even hearing about like missional communities that we're involved in. We'd like to hear about what you guys are involved in, again, just thank you for having me here. I did want to end just with a verse that is always really encouraging and motivating to me. At the end of 2 Timothy, at the end of Paul's life, who was, you think about a church planner and a missionary, you know, who more than, well, other than Jesus, who more than Paul? And so thinking about what does it look like for us to use our lives for God's purposes. In 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And I don't know about you guys, but for me, when I think about being able to lay something down at Jesus' feet when I stand before him, saying, like, I use my life here, and thanks for what you have done for rescuing me, to lay that down at his feet and say thank you. I can't wait for that day. I pray that I am faithful enough to be able to present that to him, and I pray that for all of us too. So, again, thank you guys very much for having me. It'd be nice to get to know you guys and just hear what's going on with you. So, I'll pray, and as I pray, I think the band can come up. Yeah, God, just thank you again for this time we have to gather together in your body. Thank you that you are such a good and loving Father to us. Thank you that you are patient with us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his sacrifice for us, his humility and his faithfulness to you. Thank you that through him we have resurrection life. We have a new life that we can walk in, where we have life, where we have true eternal life, and one day we will get to be with you. Thank you for Hope Community Church. Thank you for what Hope Community has done in my life and Jackie's life, and getting to know Jesus and being able to follow him. Just thank you for what the church has done for all of us. And just pray that as we think about what it means to be a missionary or on your mission, that you just guide us, that you lead us into whatever that looks like for us, whether that's even just talking about your truth to people at work, or going to our neighbors across the street to invite them in, or whether that looks like going to a foreign country to present the gospel and to help build a church. I pray that you just guide us and lead us in that, that we're able to have our mindset on the mission that you've invited us into, about not only being your disciple, but also helping to make disciples. So thank you again for this time that we have to get together, and pray that you just guide us and lead us through our week and for the rest of our time here. Amen.